Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Packers Daily here on Cheesehead TV. It's a Monday morning, rise and shine, folks. Although I'm sure many of you already have risen and shown. Good to see you here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. I'm Aaron Nagler with your Packers Daily chat. Everybody already up in here. I loving it so much as far as the participation. Look at all of you. Good morning. Big B is in the house. What's up, Big B? How are you doing? Rick is here. Hello, Rick. Morning, Joe. How are you? If I was going to host a podcast with a current or former Packers player, who would I pick? Man, that's an excellent question. Probably Tom Crabtree. How's that? Sandy, good morning. How are you? Justin, will Kirksey and Wagner's replacements be coming from the draft? Justin, starting us off with the news that hit Friday as we headed into the weekend. The Packers have cut Kirksey and Wagner. I don't think either move was a true surprise. I did think they'd maybe possibly try to restructure Wagner rather than kick him out the door, although Rob Demoski reporting that Rick Wagner is contemplating retirement. Usually that means he's on the doorstep of retirement, which, hey, totally get that. And I have to think that maybe drove some of the Packers' decision-making there, because by releasing Wagner, they released a guy who really saved their bacon at times throughout 2020. I think he played a hell of a lot better than a lot of fans expected him to. There's no doubt he really solidified that right tackle spot when they had to move Billy Turner around due to injuries at other spots. And, I know the lasting image will undoubtedly be of the NFC Championship game and what a rough kind of go of it he had. But, man, I tell you what, they're not playing in that game without Rick Wagner. So props to him. If he is going to retire, I hope he enjoys retirement. The Packers undoubtedly now have a bit more of a need there at tackle heading into 2021. No question that will be a position that they look at. I wouldn't necessarily think early in the draft, although it is a deep, a deep offensive tackle class. I think they'll pick over whatever is out there in free agency, much like they did with Wagner, and find somebody serviceable that they can bring in. With Kirksey, I know they released him with the injury designation. With the new CBA, the latest CBA with the drawn up after COVID hit. I do know he gets some kind of protection there money-wise, but I think the highest number, cap hit number he can have for 2021 is $1.2 million. So that's pretty negligible for the Packers. Obviously, they're going to have to kind of massage that position as they often do. Clearly, Chris Barnes is still in the fold. We'll see what Kamal Martin can do with a full offseason under his belt. I like Martin a lot. He really looked like a player in camp last year. I think he was up and down during the season, but I think there's a lot of potential there. No doubt, though, that's a position they will look to augment this offseason. Patrick, thank you for the super chat. Go Pack Go. Pretty simple and pretty perfect from the man who is now no longer across the ocean, but above in Canada. Morning. Morning, Brandy. It will be hard to replace Wagner for the amount of cap space available. No question about it, but there's a lot of moves yet to be made. Let's wait and see what kind of magic Russ Ball is able to pull off here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then we'll worry about the cap space. But the overall, point is correct. It is going to be a bit of a juggling act this year to sign free agents when they're already having to deal with their own. No question about it. What else we got? Don't want to miss any super chats. Don't want people to get all upset about missing super chats. I think I got them. All right, there we go. When will we find out JJ isn't signing with Green Bay? That's a great question, Nathan. That's up to Mr. Watt. He's had a week plus now. Come on, JJ. How tough is it? I mean, what do you, like, really, really? You need all this time. Got to weigh all my options. Come on, man. You know where you want to go. Just go there, wherever it is. Put us out of our misery. Nags, what would you like to see from LaFleur in year 3? That's a good question. I'd like to see some more up-tempo offense, please. Been talking about it for 2 years. They kind of utilized it a little bit against the Rams in the playoffs, but for the most part, it was not a staple. And I think they've got one of the best quarterbacks to ever operate it in the history of the league. Why don't you utilize that? And I understand their thinking and their ideas of wanting to get in and out of the huddle and then let Rodgers see the information and then call the play, blah, 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 or make the adjustments, what have you. But I think a true up-tempo with this offense would really take it to another level. And that's kind of scary for opponents, considering they finished as the top-scoring offense in the league. But yeah, that's something I'd like to see. On the defensive side, obviously, it's all about Barry, and I have no idea what to expect there. His track record isn't great. I know he wants to run the, quote, Fangio-style defense. What the hell does that mean in Green Bay? You know, what kind of front is he gonna have? How, quote-unquote, aggressive is he going to want to be? Are they going to play press man on third and three? These are all questions I'd love to ask if we ever, ever got to talk to the coaching staff that Matt LaFleur has assembled. But we'll see. I know he hired away a offensive coach from Northern Iowa who he spent 1 year with at Notre Dame. So maybe that's what they were waiting on. They were waiting on the great Northern Iowa hire prior to announcing the coaching staff and then having an availability. So we'll see if that happens. My three favorite Packers games of all time? Wow. I was just watching Vince Lombardi's third championship last night. It's on YouTube. I highly recommend it. It's good production. But three Packers games all time. Wow. That I've seen or that just exist? I don't know, man. That's a really tough question. I mean, obviously, the two Super Bowls leap to mind that I've witnessed. Where they won. Let's not talk about the Super Bowl they lost. Three? Man, what would that third one be? God, that's a real... There's too many choices. I don't know, man. I'll have to come back to that one. That's really, really tough. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Fuck it, cheers. What's up, Tommy? That's what I'm talking about. TKM, is that his post? What's up? Here is a blast from the past. Pride and glory. That is the Green Bay Packers story. Monday motivation. TKM. You are at your post. Thank you for that. Thanks for the super chat. Does 4-3 or 3-4 even really matter anymore? Sly, that's a good question. A bit, in the sense that your rush principles and your assignments in a 4-3 or a 3-4 will vary and or change. You used to hear Dom Capers talk a lot about 3-4 principles. The idea of, you know, the two down linemen or three down linemen and the four backers, et cetera. Obviously with Pettine, you still had those 3-4 principles. Now, if you're a 4-3 defense, you've got those four down linemen. You got two guys with their hands in the dirt, traditionally lining up wide as defensive ends, rushing upfield, et cetera. Those are all very simplistic versions of what's actually going on, but how those work in concert, whether it is the front line with the linebacking core, you know, if, whether it's three guys on the, with their hands on the ground, there's four guys, et cetera. Their assignments, how you run stunts, how you run games, that all changes whether it's 3-4 or 4-3. But that's really the only distinction. To your point, yeah, it's a very much a sub-league now, right? I mean, 75-80% of the time, you're in nickel, so you've got a backer off the field. A lot of times you got two down linemen instead of three in a 3-4. So, yeah, it's a bit of a misnomer. A lot of the time, but the rush principles and how those units operate together, whether it's, you know, 3-4 or 4-3, the defensive line and the linebackers, that is where kind of the real distinction gets made. And if you want further information on that, there are a number of books on defensive football that you can look into later this summer. Last year, I did a Packers book kind of review video, an extra cheese about it. I'll do a football book review this summer for you guys. What kind of corner do you think would work best opposite Jair? A good one, Dustin. I kid. You know, clearly one of the problems with King was his length, but his height. You know, I think it robbed him of some fluidity in and out of cuts, trying to stick with some of these faster, quick twitch receivers that the NFL throws at you game after game. You know, but somebody, yeah, who's a little bit more fluid, I think would do well, especially if you want to interchange these guys. Now, again, I don't know what Barry's philosophy is going to be. I don't know how much, you know, they might kick Jair inside. That's something I wish they'd done more of under Pettine. I really wish they would have done it, in the NFC Championship game, especially after Sullivan was getting picked on so much, but it wasn't something they were wanting to do apparently. So, yeah, somebody who is a little bit more interchangeable would be nice. Now, obviously, you're not going to find a guy, you know, not going to find a Jair clone. But, yeah, somebody with some good stick-to-itiveness, as it were, in man coverage, and a little bit more fluidity. That would be my ideal. Can I see us going after Richard Sherman? Not really. I'd love the fit. He's a bigger corner. He's kind of the not exactly what I was just talking about right there, but I would love Richard. I love him as a player. I think he's got a real physicality to him that the Packers defense could utilize and need, but I don't see that as a fit. Unless he's really desperate to come play with Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to go somewhere and get paid, and it's not going to be in Green Bay. Do you think the NFL will allow players to opt out next season too? Andrew, I doubt it. I really doubt it. I mean, I know this isn't NFL, but you've got the Badgers talking about full capacity when they kick off the fall season. And that's where people's heads are at. I can't imagine. Now, maybe, who knows, if there's a uptick in these outside strains, and maybe there's a new kind of, public health crisis, etc., then maybe, but I highly doubt it. I'd be very, very surprised. And don't forget, I mean, that would take both the league and the NFLPA agreeing to that. And I can't imagine the players voting for it. But you never know. I doubt it, though. Brandy, for so many years, the Packers struggled at the running back position. Were we spoiled with Jones at running back? Now what? Turn to a wide receiver to running back again? Brandy, how dare you besmirch the good name of A.J. Dillon? I don't think Packers fans realize what they got there. I mean, remember before Eddie Lacy hit the China food and was like a absolute beast? That's A.J. Dillon. I mean, don't think for a second just because he's a little bigger and a little bit more plodding than Jones, who I know is electric and was so good in this offense. Don't think for a second that he's not going to be productive and be able to be utilized in every facet of the game. A.J. Dillon's legit, and he could be easily Eddie Lacy 2.0 circa 2014. So just pump the brakes on that. Now, does he need help? Do they need a compliment? Do they need a stable, if it were? Yes, no doubt about it. Matt's talked many times about the need for multiple backs. The league is too punishing at that position for you to count on any one guy. But A.J. Dillon's legit, and he's gonna come to play. You just wait. You wait and see. Imagine B.J. Raji playing with Kenny Clark. Oh, Mark, why do you tease me? Why do you tease me? It's Monday. It's Monday, sir. That's a Friday comment. I don't need that. I don't need to sit and marinate on that all week. Oh, hot flashes. So good. Hey, Packer fam. Hope everyone is healthy. That's what I'm talking. There's a little positivity in there. I like it. Cromwell. Aaron, do you think Jones is gone? I do. I take no pleasure in saying that, but yeah, I'd be absolutely shocked if he's back. He'll hit the market. He'll get paid. It won't be by the Packers. We know the Packers have offered several different types of contracts. None of them were to Jones's liking, mostly because of the lack of true guarantees in the deals. That's reporting from Rob Domofsky. And that totally makes sense. The Packers want to keep him. And they're happy to pay if he keeps producing and or, at a certain level. Basically, for the Packers, it would be a year-by-year deal, and if he were ever to get hurt, they would be able to get out of it because there wouldn't be a ton of guaranteed money. There wouldn't be a lot of cap hit. But, Jones wants security. He has worked his ass off, and as a running back, that first payday is usually your only payday. So this, he wants to strike. This is his one spot. This is his one time to set himself up and his family for life. So, man, I do not begrudge him for a moment, for a second. Go get that bag, man. Go get it, Aaron. Sadly, it just won't be in Green Bay. Bring back the GOAT! That wasn't even Big B calling Jamal Williams the GOAT. We'll see. We know also from Rob's reporting that the Packers didn't even call Jamal. So they seem pretty content to let him walk or at least explore free agency. Now, we'll see. Maybe he gets out there and there's really no or tepid interest. And the Packers say, hey, how you doing, Jamal? You see AJ over there? How would you like to come back and work with him for a bit? That's always a possibility. William, thanks for the super chat. What kind of defensive lineman should be paired with Kenny? A size like Raji or someone like Akeem Hicks? God damn, I'd love Akeem Hicks in a Packers uniform. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime talent right there. Tomlinson, I know from the Giants, is set to be a free agent. He is a guy that the Packers tried to trade for. At the trade deadline, the Giants held on to him, though. We'll see if he ends up getting a tag or re-signed, which I suspect is probable. I mean, the Giants did turn down the trade offer. But, I don't think there's a specific body type. I will say, though, Gutekunst spent a lot of last season picking up and then releasing a lot of big body guys. Now, Anthony Rush came back, and he's still on the team, so maybe that's a guy who, with a full camp, maybe gets an opportunity, and he's a big man. But I just think, you know, you want quality there. I don't think the body type matters too much. Again, without being privy to Barry and what he wants to install, it's hard to say for sure what the Packers are thinking. But for me, you know, quick twitch guy, lightning guy, big behemoth guy, I don't really care. I just want someone who gets Kenny some more opportunities one-on-one, especially on like second and third down. That's what I think they really need. James White would be a nice weapon for Rodgers. He would be. Absolutely. I'd love White in a Packers uniform, but is he willing to play on the veterans minimum on a one-year deal? Because that's probably what it would take. I doubt it. But you never know. Hey, he went to Wisconsin. Maybe he wants to come back play for the Packers. We'll see. Eric, thanks for the super chat. We saw a huge jump in year two with the Matt LaFleur offense. How long do you think it'll take to do the same if Joe Barry implements a new defensive scheme? Traditionally, at least a year. We'll undoubtedly see some growing pains this first year, and that's just the sad truth. I do think you can turn things around quickly on defense because it is a lot more reactionary and is a lot less dependent on, I'm not going to say less dependent on teamwork, but it is not as important for all 11 guys to be doing like synced up, so to speak, as it is on offense. And I think you've seen throughout the league, there are times when you hire new defensive coordinators to implement new schemes and things click and guys just hit the ground running. Hell, Dom Capers was like a magician for a few years as a guy who would come in and, you know, have really quick turnarounds. Now, he never sustained that success for very long, but more often than not, you know, whether it was Jacksonville, Houston, the Panthers, came to Green Bay, they had a really middling defense and he turned it around real quick. So it can be done, you know, but I do think they're not going to be kind of hitting on all cylinders like we saw on the offensive side for at least a year. Any NFL draft prospects crushes yet? No, Andrew, nothing yet. Nothing. No, I'll let you guys trust me. When I find someone who tickles my fancy, y'all will definitely know about it, especially if you follow me on Twitter. A lot of vet free agents are going to have to take what the market will bear with the 2021 cap. Lots of one-year deals with incentives. Yeah, Matt, I think there will be one-year deals, possibly with incentives. I think there will be a lot of big names getting paid. There'll be a lot of rookies, undrafted free agents that are sought after the draft. And I think the middle class is going to get killed. And I do think there's going to be quite a few, maybe even bigger names that have to take one-year deals or who decide to take one-year deals just to, you know, stick with a team for 1 year and strike again next year. The problem is that I think the big money isn't due NFL-wise for two more years. So maybe they're two-year deals that guys take, depending on where they are in their career. Because, you know, we've seen now the headlines are starting about the negotiations with the broadcast partners. I mean, my God, Disney's pushing back because the NFL apparently wants 100% increase. 100% increase. Hot damn, man. They're going to be rolling in money. So, yeah, obviously that's a starting point, and I doubt they get there to 100%, but you bet they're going to get close. I think Thursday night football is going to be a sticking point. Nobody wants it. But at the end of the day, that money is coming, and that will hit in 2 years. So I think guys are going to be kind of treading water here for a little bit, and that's why I keep saying maybe the pitch. You know, I know it's a tough year for the Packers cap-wise, but if there was a year, a quote-unquote good year for it to happen, it's this year. You know, you got Rodgers, you're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. Make that pitch, man. Come win a ring with Rodgers. Help get us over the hump. I think one or two guys could bite on that. We'll see. Text Murphy, ticket price freeze for 2021. Please, Matt, I'll see what I can do. I think he's coming home to all his families there, as we know. Cromwell, I think if you're talking about Watt, the two most important family members are out in Pittsburgh. Those are his brothers. Without Thursday night games, when will we be able to watch the Jags or the Jets? Oh, Randy, off the top rope. Damn, that was tough. Man, it's Monday. Let's keep it positive. Let's save the bitterness for like Thursday. All right, guys, I got to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It really means a lot that you guys make Cheesehead TV part of your daily Packers routine. I understand there is a ton of content out there and there are a lot of places you guys can go. And you choose to come here and spend a little bit of time with me, with Cheesehead TV, it really means a lot. I mean that from the bottom of my soul. I was looking around the internet this weekend at all the different Packers content. And the fact that you guys come here in late February, it blows my mind. It's great. Can't thank you enough. Please, please do me a huge favor. Hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.